I thought that was happening. I thought there was some sort of electronic noise, but it was just Louise giving little kisses.
I'm just kissing the microphone.
I'm just kissing my little baby boys.
Louise, little baby boys. Okay, should we get started?
Yeah, let's get started.
Yeah. What is this?
Well, that's the question, right? We've been wondering what we're doing for the past, like, couple of weeks.
Maybe that's what we should have called it. What is this?
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
This is a podcast called We Stayed Late, where we're just going to talk about our lives, I guess. We're going to kind of touch on... That's not
true.
We're going to avoid our sad, sad lives.
No one wants to hear about
that. Louise, we're just stretching while we're fretting.
You don't want to make this, like... the internet therapy and just talk about all your feelings.
I want to talk about my feelings. Who doesn't want to talk about their feelings?
These microphones smell real nice.
What the fuck? I said that earlier, bitch. You try to fight right now?
Yeah, I'm stealing your jokes,
Autumn. I know, that was the best one I made all day.
Okay, that credit goes to Autumn.
Okay.
thank you.
Credit for that joke goes to Autumn. So we're hopefully gonna get some SourceFed people on in the next couple of episodes and kind of talk to them as well about what they're doing now and both host and crew, because we love our little crew and we miss them. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, we just kind of wanted to share everything we can share, and then kind of just talk about what's going on with us. Yeah. So I think that this episode we wanted to kind of just actually go back and talk about where we came from. We're gonna do kind of our superhero origin stories, and kind of talk about how we got to be where we are now, and just have some fun. So, Luis, do you want to start us out with what you, since you, I know you have to leave, not like super soon, but you have to go pretty soon. So I
guess I'm the
first.
Oldest one here. I've been here
How
longer.
How old are you?
I was going to say physically older or like oldest employee?
No, I've been, I'm the oldest employee right here.
Okay.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
I came in before you. Mm. I think it was 2015. When did you come, Star?
I was late 2015 or 2014.
2014?
I think you were...
I don't remember. I remember it was in August because I bought a new car and I came
it
in with my new car.
It must have been 2014 because I was in August of... or November of 2015.
I was...
Okay. And you were already here for a while.
This is exciting.
Yeah.
We're talking about the dates when we came in.
Yeah, it was so exciting. The last week of September. I always say October 2014, but it was technically the last September. September. Yeah.
I mean, what's up with me? I mean, I came from Texas. I was working at home. I was going insane, getting cabin fever.
Wait, were you in Texas before you had this job? Or I guess this.
Yeah, I was in Texas. I was in Houston, and then I moved over here, and I was doing editing for my house for about a year. And then I was ready to blow my brains out because I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anything about LA. And so I just put out a job. I didn't know SourceFed. And then I got the job, I walked in, and I was like, this place is perfect. It's for me. You know, I see, like, people farting. I see, like, toys everywhere.
The two main things.
Yeah, those are the main things that Louise looks for in a job.
Things for me. We got farts, we got toys, I'm in. And then I had Ricky and Darren interview me.
Oh, that's
and
scary.
And I think it was for the PDS show and for SourceFed. And then I went in, and I did the test, and that was that. And I started with SourceFed. With Kezi and Travis.
Wasn't Travis always falling asleep?
He's always
a legend. Yeah, he's a legend because I took over his desk, I think.
Yeah.
And I'd always find baby pictures. And I was like, who is this baby? I do not have a baby. Why is this here?
I mean, he had the perfect desk. He was at the corner so he could just fall asleep and no one would notice. And then after a couple of years when People Be Like started, I jumped on board on that. And that's where I ended up. Bada boom.
Bada boom, bada bing.
Wow. But how old are you actually?
That's the question.
That's
my question.
Okay, you want to know the answer to that?
I
want
to know.
Oh boy, we're going to have to go deep.
I don't like this anymore.
I don't like ASMR shit. Like, oh no.
We're going to have to go deep down into my... I was born in 1987.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Were you really?
Yeah, I really was.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
I was born
crazy.
In June 5th, 1987. So now you know everything about me.
I know
everything.
That's
my
all
identity.
I want to know.
Your social security number is.
I'll bleep it. Star, do you want to kind of give us a background on you? Even before, SourceFed? Like, just from the beginning, what made you want to do what you're doing?
Oh, that's dorky as fuck.
No, that's all right. That's what we want. We're all dorks and idiots here. All of us. All four of us.
It's very
all five
true.
Of us, including our friends, the beer. Mm. This is our friend, the beer.
Oh, yeah, there's free beer here.
There's free beer here.
There's so much
beer. That's one thing we can tell you about what we're doing.
Is that there's free beer.
There's free beer here.
Yeah.
They never want you to leave.
Because you're too drunk to drive home.
Yeah. I started drawing because my mom didn't like me watching TV without something else to do.
Oh, interesting.
So it was just like, well, as long as you have something else going on. So I would watch TV.
She wouldn't let you just sit there.
I guess she thought it was like weird or just bad for the brain to just sit and stare at a screen. Little the future hold on that. It's just always staring at screens the whole time.
Did you draw like what you saw on TV? Was that the kind of thing?
Mostly like newspaper comics. So I got real good at drawing Garfield.
Oh,
like,
cool.
Things
like
that's cool.
And then middle school is when it really like took off, where I started watching Sailor Moon and was like, I like that show, and tried to draw that, and it was real bad. got into anime and things like that and just kept drawing, and it was always like the side thing, like, I'm gonna be a veterinarian, but I'm gonna draw a comic. Yeah. Like, that was just the thing. And then I got to college, I was like, vet school's hard. I don't want to do this.
It's like becoming a doctor.
Wait, did you go to med school?
No, I went to the University of Florida because they're the only vet school in Florida. So I was like, I'll go there for undergrad, and then I'll get into their program. And then I was just like, I don't like these classes. They're real hard.
Yeah.
And
that sounds miserable.
I don't like chemistry. I don't see why you need, like, it was just not for me. And then I was, so I just switched my major to art, and I was like, I hope this works out.
And it did work out.
It did. Yeah, I'm always constantly surprised that I get paid to draw.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That wasn't supposed to happen. Everyone said, it was like, no, that's not a thing.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, we do have pretty fucking cool jobs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we could be out. We are surrounded in this building by construction workers. Mm-hmm. There's construction everywhere, which is why you might hear some beeps happening. Mm-hmm. But
we
could be
out
there.
We're also in a really corporate office, too.
We are in a really corporate office. There's a lot of bankers. There's a lot of what else? Just people in suits. There's like an agency. I know.
You ever seen the TV show Westworld, when they're down there and everything's made out of glass and
that's
mirrors?
That's what it looks like.
That's what it is down here.
That is what it looks like.
Yeah, you can see into everyone's office. You can just, like, some people are just one room, one person in a small office.
Yeah, well, some people, there's two people, one desk, one office.
How much, like, weird eye contact have you guys made with people just walking around?
None. I've been purposely doing it.
I walk by and I, like, what's up? I, like, look at them really deep, you know?
Well, I had to go ask that one group, because they had a really cool sign. I had to go ask them what they did. And they were
ladies?
Super nice. Yeah, the ladies.
Oh, yeah, I
see the cool
graffiti on their
sign.
Walls. Because all the walls are glass. The little
scribs.
Yeah, all That's the so walls cute. Are glass, so you could just take,
well, you saw them drawing on it, right?
Yeah. I was just like, oh, they're doing it.
You could totally draw on their walls. I guarantee you they would not mind.
But watch this, the cleaning people just come around and, like,
and erase it.
You know what I think is funny about the cleaning people is that, okay, so their brand or their slogan is do what you love.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's everywhere. It's on the coffee mugs. It's on the wall. And it's on the T-shirts that the cleaning people have. And I think that's pretty ironic. It's like, do what you love. I love cleaning after people. I'm going to clean.
It's so stupid. That's such, like, hipster bullshit. Yeah, like, we're making our cleaning people, like, be into the fucking,
Although, I found out one of the cleaning ladies is the one that, like, decorates the fruit water, and she does a superb job.
She does
a great job. The fruit water does
I fucking love fruit water, man.
I didn't before this job, but I'm into it now.
But she makes it just really pretty, and I'd like to think that, like, you know what? This is, like, her little artistic moment.
Yeah, this is her time to shine.
Want to do. Yeah. She doesn't just dump the fruit into the thing. It's like,
now, are there, I'm probably terribly ignorant, are there people that like to clean?
Probably.
Let us know down in the comments. Do you like to clean?
I just can't imagine liking,
honestly,
enjoying it.
I kind of like it a little bit. I used
but like
to
enough
not.
To like do it for a job?
For a job.
I mean, okay, so I worked a shitload of retail jobs, and, like, honestly, there was a point where I was like, I want to be like a janitor. I don't want to, like, the gross part about that is, like, cleaning up people's poo-poo and shit like that, but, like,
poo-poo.
if it was just, like, mopping.
Cleaning people's fucking poo-poo.
Yeah. I guess I just like mopping, because that's the only example.
You like mopping?
I like mopping.
I get that, because, like,
the thing. I would think it'd be really satisfying to squeegee and Windex all these windows.
Yeah, it probably is. God, I just see them walking around all day in, like, a circle and just, like,
they have those
the
cool,
wall,
like multicolored dusters. They have, like, these dusters that look like they're from Whoville, and they just walk around and dust every single lamp in this building, and it's disgusting. I feel so bad for them. But again, I hate cleaning, so that's probably my personal bias coming in. to play.
Yeah, and I like cleaning too. Now that I think about it, because that can turn my brain off,
exactly.
and I can get an immediate result. Yeah. Just kind of like editing. It's like I get an immediate result. It's done. It's clean. I don't have to like.
See, I do that with dishes. Like I'll put my headphones on and listen to a podcast and do dishes. And Hannah hates doing dishes, so I'm like, I'm totally. If you want to vacuum, if you want to like, you do that. I'll do the dishes. I don't care. I'll
I
sit down
dishes.
And really, you hate them.
It's the worst. Mm-hmm. I don't like it at all.
What's your favorite item to clean,
Scott? What's your favorite dish?
Let's really get into the nitty-gritty here.
I enjoy vacuuming, actually.
Do you enjoy vacuuming?
Yeah. And every once in a while, I get to rent one of those rug doctors, and I get to do, like,
the those
steam
are really
thing.
Fun.
That's really satisfying. To be like, look at all this shit that was in the car.
I didn't know you could rent them.
Yeah, 40 bucks.
They're, 40 bucks?
It's real cheap.
Yeah, so we,
damn,
so we had...
I'm going to do that.
So we had... we would, like, in our apartment, we would walk barefoot, and it would be... Ooh, do you hear that? Little beepy boys.
Oh, yeah.
we would walk barefoot, and our feet would be black.
Oh, my God.
We're like, that's so gross because of the carpet. And so then we decided to rent a steam cleaner, or, like, a carpet cleaner, right?
Yeah.
And so we did the whole front room, the whole, like, we put up the bed and did the whole bedroom. And then when we got done, waited for it to dry, everything was good. We were like, good, it's all taken care of. We saw all the shit, like, the brown, black water that was in the thing, and we dumped it out, and we were like, we did our job for the weekend, like, we're good, we let it dry, then we started walking on it again, and it still made our feet black, and we're like, there's a bigger problem here than just the carpet being dirty, like, this is, it was ingrained into the carpet, so we ended up ripping up the carpet, and there was, like, fucking cool, destroyed, like, tarnished wood underneath the carpet. That's really cool.
Why
it has, like,
always
these
cool shit under rugs?
I don't know, I got really lucky, because apparently in one of the other apartments, it was just like gross rotted wood, but ours was painted. I'll have to show you guys. Ours was painted with these. It was like bright red, and then it had like these weird cross hatches all over in the
shit.
Barn.
That's awesome. Yeah,
yeah, it was really cool. But it doesn't go with our apartment, but we're gonna make it go with our apartment now because it's so cool. It's like all vintage and awesome.
Your landlord was okay with that.
Ooh, what they don't know doesn't hurt them.
Oh.
Ooh, my landlord doesn't know I have three cats.
Well, the thing is like they're going to tear up the carpet anyway because I have a dog, and that dog, when it was a puppy, had many an accident on the carpet, so they're going to tear it up anyway, so I'm just saving them a
step. Dogs.
You know?
That's what I'm afraid of if I get a dog. I want to get a dog.
Yeah.
I'm always afraid that they're just going to pee and poop on things, and then it's over.
They do for the first, like, couple of months until you get them trained. We used pads, and that really helped because they knew to go on the pads, and then we trained him outside after that, but there you go. But yeah, it is definitely, it's like having a child for the first couple of months. It's a little tough. But I was going to ask you what the animes you watched growing up, besides Sailor Moon, what you watched growing up.
I watched Ranma 1/2, Dragon Ball. Oh man, those are like my classics. Those are like the three core. They set my standard.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's just like whatever's popular at the moment, kind of thing. I did Naruto for a while. I can't pronounce things, also, by the way. Like, that's
good
that
to
happens.
Know. We're editors and designers. Because
here's the thing: there's so many anime that I watch that I don't know the name of them because it's like the Japanese,
it's Japanese
name, and I don't bother. I don't know character names. I just know like the red-haired one,
right?
The angry one, the one with the glasses.
Yeah.
Like, so it's just kind of. Or the premise of the show, kind of.
Right.
So
yeah, totally.
It depends on my mood at the moment,
kind of.
But my core is Sailor Moon, Ranma 1/2, Dragon Ball, but not as a favorite just because I watched it when I was young.
Sure.
But to SourceFed,
we digressed like.
No, it's
expected.
Fine. It's fine because I have a feeling people are going to listen and be like, they're not talking about the thing I'm interested in at all.
Hey, we'll loop into it eventually.
We'll loop back. We'll loop back. Stay with us.
So I moved out to LA, was doing freelance graphic design for a while, and then like something happened, which I guess we're not talking about it personal lives, but like I had to move back to Miami.
No, we can talk about personal lives.
No,
I want to know.
I'm going to skip over it because
I want to know.
That's for next time, Spencer.
Okay.
Yeah, we can get back to that.
Okay, we'll talk about
that. I was
in
LA for a couple years. Financial issues, things happened. I had to move back to Miami for a little while. Around that time, that's when Phil launched SourceFed. And I was working at my old job at the news station, and I was just like, I'm watching Phil, and I was like, oh, what's this new channel? This is cool. And just became a fan from the beginning.
Yeah.
And from the get-go, I was just like, oh, this looks really, like a really cool place to work. Man, goddamn, they need a new logo, though. I hated the logo from the get-go. Sorry for whoever designed it. I think it might have been Len.
Oh,
Len?
Shit.
Len?
But I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Len Star's going to fight you.
It was either Len or the old designer
So let's just say it's the old designer, because I don't know who they are, and we can talk shit about
them. Well, see, here's the thing. I know who the old designer is, so I don't want to say anything bad
either. Fuck that person.
No, he's cool.
Oh, okay, never mind. Sorry. You did a great job for the resources you had. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Yeah. It's just, here's the thing. It's like they're being designed by editors, not to knock you guys.
Oh, I see. So they were just designed by, it was designed by editors.
Oh, so it's just like,
that explains it.
You guys communicate a thing.
Yeah.
It's just not necessarily like there's like tweaks. Mm-hmm. Like it just needs like a tweak.
Sure. like we talked about with the logo. Yeah. I made part of the logo and then Star was like, ooh, I like part of it. Let me just make it better. And I was like, please make it better.
Yeah, Spencer did most of the work. I literally just went in and was just like, just the kerning and like make this look a little bigger. And then it's like, fine.
My eye's like, I don't care. I don't care.
Is your eye shit. Drunk? My eye.
Which, by the way,
guys, Spencer drinks all the time.
I drink constantly.
Into his eyes.
The irony is, I don't drink at
the
all.
The irony.
Which, by the way, I'm gonna be real nitpicky. Remember when like we had to redo all the thumbnails?
Yeah.
And that thing, and like I was trying to show you guys how to like do it. Uh-huh. I just wanted to redo them all. Like,
dude, I can only imagine because we didn't. Here's the thing: at the end, we didn't give a shit.
Of course, and I could tell. Like it was just like. Okay, you guys are just trying to communicate the thing, and you're just doing the thing. It's fine, but I was just like, you have the steps, you got the premise, but I'm like, it's
hated doing thumbnails.
You hated them more than anybody I've ever known.
I would have known, because I would have been like, please send them to me,
dude.
Wish that was a thing. That's like the best thing. If someone else has a thumbnail.
Okay, maybe in the new iteration of whatever we're gonna do.
I will do your thumbnails.
Maybe we have
a graphic. I like making thumbnails.
Doesn't
that make more sense?
You would finish a video so quickly, and then you're like, oh fuck, now I gotta get to the thumbnail.
An hour for a fucking thumbnail.
The thumbnail, and then the fucking bars and shit too. You're just like,
oh, and the bars are like the title, the one liner, the tag. That we put in the video.
So all
I don't know
stuff.
Why they're called bars.
I don't know why.
I don't want to call anybody specific out because I love everybody we worked with, but there were specific people who were supposed to send us bars.
Oh, yeah.
And they never, I don't think once I ever got a bar
from
those
some
people.
Bars. Sometimes.
No, from some people. I'm saying there are certain people that we worked with that would never, ever, ever send
little
us
confession.
Bars. Ever.
Little confession. Little confession time. I would hold the host hostage. Like, I'd be like, if you don't send me the title and the one-liner, I'm not putting that video up. And then I get a text, and they're like, why isn't the video up? I'm like, where's the title? Where's the
bars?
One-liner? Yeah.
Okay,
it got ridiculous because
like,
it happened for years.
What's the bar? I don't understand.
Oh, sorry. Bars? Yeah, we should clarify. Bars are the title, the description, the one-line. Oh, did you?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
No, it's okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was
no
just clarifying.
To me, it's fine.
No, you said it was like parts of the video, and I was just like, I still don't know what that means.
Yeah, yeah, it's the title, description, like any of the, like basically the whole layout of the tags. Yeah, everything that you need to put it up on.
By the way, in the old office, I worked very far away in a whole other room than these guys. So like, I will ask to clarify things. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
That's true.
We have a lot of inside jokes. Mm-hmm. That we're just within our room, and so Star is accustomed to them because we've kind of bombarded her with them, even from so far away.
No, it's so much. It's nice. It's
but fun. sometimes we might go off on inside jokes, and I apologize. Or you can be a part of them.
Yeah.
Okay. To get back on.
Okay.
Track,
sorry. We have to get. Oh God.
Let me just finish. Let me just finish it so I could like so you guys could describe your thing. So I in Miami, I started watching SourceFed. Really wanted to like redesign the logo. Became a fan. I was in the process of trying to move back to LA as soon as possible. Anyway, got back to LA, was just doing freelance on my own, things like that. Met Danny at a mutual friend's house kind of thing. Became friends with her there. Did not know she worked for Phil or SourceFed at the time.
Wow, that's crazy.
We were just friends, and then like I looked at her Facebook profile and it was just like works at like Discovery Digital, sort like DeFranco Creative kind of thing.
Yeah,
I was just like, oh shit. I watch that all the time.
Yeah.
I'm going to let her know. I'm like, hey, by the way, I'm freelancing at home for design, but I would take on PA jobs just in general just to get me out of the house. I love working in production, just making a thing. So I used to PA for like music videos, random channel 101 shows, things like that, just like to get me away from the computer because I was I had the same thing. I was cabin fever.
Just to get out. Yeah.
And I needed to get out of my house. So I told her, I was like, hey, if anything ever opens up, like, I don't care if it's not production, office assistant, whatever, because I could freelance from anywhere. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, let me know. And then, like, maybe, like, months later, she was like, hey, we're going to look for an office assistant soon. You should apply. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, but it's kind of like, because she knew I did design. She's like, it's kind of, like, beneath you. It's just, like, office assistant stuff. And I'm like, I don't care. Yeah. Because I wanted to work there. I still watched the videos. I was like, no, that's
well, yeah,
cool
I mean,
place.
Sometimes you have to take the jobs that are. Yeah, you have to take those jobs. I mean, especially like coming straight out of college, like you sometimes you, or high school sometimes, you just have to take the jobs that you can and then you build your
as
way up.
As long as you're doing
you know?
It on the side. Like, to me, that's all my concern was. Like, I just need something production related. I just want to go be around people making things. So got the office assistant gig. And then within like a couple weeks, like, they were like, oh, like, while you're doing things on the side, if you have extra time, do you want to redo the cutouts, like the old cutouts? And I was like, yeah, sure. They thought that was going to take me like a couple months. And I did it in a week. And I was just like, here you go. And they're like,
awesome.
Oh. And then that's kind of what.
Oh, you're really good.
And it kind of started the ball where like little by little, I was starting to get asked to make graphic things. Yeah. And then after that first live show, the LA live show, because I made the whole like look for it. You guys like did, made it move, which is the hard to me. That's
I wasn't
the hard
there
part.
For that. I wasn't there.
I
for
was
that.
There. Yeah.
Yeah.
You were there. Lewis, I think you didn't. You make the
spinning wheel.
The spinning wheel thing in the back.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
The background.
Yeah, I did
yeah.
do that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So after that, then it was just like some higher up. I think I don't know if it was I don't know if it was Jeremy or somebody or. What they were like, we need to like actually hire her as the designer. Like, she's going to leave because we're paying her minimum wage as an office assistant. Like, that's not okay.
Yeah.
So then like, they like remade the job for me because they used to have a designer and he was really good, but he was, I guess he was just like slower because it was like, he was more of an editor.
Yeah. So yeah, he was just like, doing double duty on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my SourceFed story.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Okay.
You know, on a side note about the clapping, I remember when we first did Superhero Roundup, and it was the first time we were setting up, and I think it was like, Star, you were there when they first started doing Superhero Roundup. Were you there?
Superhero, yeah.
And I think we're like, okay, guys, we're going to start this out. How are we going to start this out? We just started clapping every time. And then there was like, okay, we need to clap every time the show starts. And then it just became like a thing, like... Anytime we did a live show on anything, it was like
we just started
to start clapping.
I think we still did that up until the end.
Yeah.
Up until the very last live show.
Because it's a good like energy builder.
Yeah, it makes you feel. Yeah, it makes you feel like.
Because it started as a joke, and then it just it turned into like, oh no, this actually works. Yeah.
It's like something within us is like, oh, clapping. Oh, we have to be alert. Yeah, something's happening. Yeah, that's funny. Okay, on Daniel Walker's.
Ooh, boy, holy shit. That was fucking awesome. Autumn's been killing it at the burp game today. I tell you what.
That wasn't me.
That wasn't me.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
Star. Autumn.
Star throwing
fuck
down.
You. Star, that
Autumn,
was amazing.
Fuck you. Yeah, Star. That fucking scared me. I think I peed my pants a little bit.
I think you peed.
Here's my secret. I will burp, and no one will ever think it's from me, and I'll immediately blame it on somebody.
I know. I blamed Autumn.
Yeah, I am disgusting. That made sense. God. That was fucking crazy,
that was
Star.
Great.
I've christened the mic.
I think...
Guess we needed that pop filter.
We need more than a pop filter, I think. Like a steel wool grate.
Did that work?
No.
I don't like that.
So I throw up.
In the comments down below, send us your burps.
Tweet us your burps.
Tweet us your
gags,
burps.
Please
tweet us your burps. Okay, Autumn, do you want to walk us through your life story?
Sure.
Your whole life. I want to know
from
the beginning.
So I was born.
Oh God.
Three years ago.
Your conception.
So
do you know when your parents?
Wait, when's your birthday?
May 30th,
1994.
What's 9 months?
Nine, 10-ish months before that.
Ooh, not good at math.
I don't
not
need
dates.
Oh, so the reason I named Autumn.
Ooh.
Is because my parents. So my dad was 40 and my mom was 24, and he was basically dating this hot piece of Mexican ass, and he accidentally got her pregnant. And then he like left when she found out she was pregnant with me and they were going to get an abortion. But then he came back cause he took a long walk through the autumn woods. So that's why I named Autumn.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you were saved from abortion.
I was
because of
that season specifically.
That's amazing.
That's a survival story if I've ever heard
there's
one.
There's an
that's
alternate universe
born.
Version of you where it's like your
where
names
aborted?
Are different seasons.
Oh.
Well, that too, but like,
yeah.
You're named after different seasons. You're named Leaf.
Right.
You're named Acorn.
And you're going to have to fight all of these alternate versions of yourself.
Well, I'm gonna lose for sure, dude. I'm so weak.
No, you climbed around that table.
Oh, you're right. I did climb the table.
You guys didn't see it because it wasn't on the video.
Oh wait, did everyone here climb around the table?
I didn't climb around the table. Oh. Luis and I are the losers here.
Wait, I thought Luis, you did it.
No, I tried very hard.
I tried
Luis,
so hard.
Your attempt was my favorite because you were just screaming the whole time.
Like, do we have that footage?
I have all the raw footage.
Really?
Which I know people really want to see. I don't know what to do with it though.
Yeah.
I think you should release like bits of it.
Like, can I?
I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll have to talk. Yeah, I mean,
because if I can, like, I know people wanted to see all of it, and I'm more than willing.
We should
to
just
show
put
it.
Like bits of clips. Like, if we make an Instagram account or something,
yeah,
put the raw clips up.
Can we do
there,
the? What is it?
Them.
The remember the
SourceFed Raw.
The SourceFed Raw.
Source Raw.
Remember the Disney Channel meme that went around for a little bit where it was so awkward because it was the
thing.
This. I feel like that's how our raw clips would be
because
people don't realize it, but like
they don't realize how much magic you guys
yeah,
do.
Yeah, like there's a lot of shit that gets cut out of it, and it's not the fault of anybody.
It's
just the nature of how it is. Yeah, it's just the nature of how like video works, especially digital video works.
How many
it's like
times did you did? I mean, I was in the Reddit a lot, and there was always occasionally somebody was just like, "Can somebody release like the raw footage so I could practice how to edit?"
We never
and
did I, that, and I feel like we should.
We should
I don't. I always thought it was like, no, because then you'll see how not.
But you know what? Now it's all over. So
it's
we
all
can
over.
Can you
we
imagine?
We should get permission from the host.
Yeah, like the
we
raw
release,
footage of like a white wall. Dude.
Oh, God. I don't even,
also,
honestly,
like,
I don't even want to think about it.
Two cameras and everything,
yeah,
too. So,
so
it was just
yeah,
like a
white
lot.
Walls are two different cameras, and we keyed out each person, and then, you know, you cut back and forth, and you do all the punch-ins, you know, all the graphics. It's like the raw footage is such a different
That's crazy
animal.
That you guys keyed out the white wall, because in my time, I didn't key out the white wall.
You just blow it out.
I didn't know you keyed out the white wall.
I think we just blew it out, because we were trying to figure out the color correction, because every time the left and the right camera were like, one would be blue, one would be orange, or just like the light. It would like, it would drift. The
oh,
color
okay.
would drift,
yeah.
and the whole thing would drift.
So the reason why we started keying everything out, I mean, it is shot on a white wall,
right?
So it's like the reason why we keyed out and put white behind them is because in the mobile, on phones,
right? You could see.
You could see the split down the middle, which you couldn't see on the screen, like when we were editing, and I don't know, some of you might have been there, but watching on your phones when you saw the split down the middle, and we couldn't see it, physically couldn't see it on our screens. But in on the phone, for some reason, it would show up, and no matter what we did,
these
even if we
higher,
like did a higher resolution,
we did this trick where
range.
Like me and Kezi actually, I think, thought of it, but we would put a black color mat on top of it, bring the opacity down to like 40, and then turn the monitor and look at it on the side.
Oh, weird.
Yeah,
oh,
we would go like that extreme, and then we would say, okay, can we see the line? Okay, let's bring up the whites or whatever.
Oh my God.
But,
how practical.
Yeah, but then in the end, it's just easier to key it out.
Yeah,
yeah for it. Sure. Especially when we started putting all that like stupid bullshit behind them.
Which Danny did a lot of cool stuff. We're like,
he did.
Things
yeah.
would
Danny
pop
boy.
Up. Yeah, Dan, little nice. Danny boy. Little things Danny would boy. Pop up behind the host. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like on their shoulders.
On their
and
shoulders.
Stuff. That was so cool. I remember the Drake one that he did. I think that was the first one he did, and I got so excited.
Oh,
little Danny. We miss little Danny.
Rest in peace,
Danny. Danny, if you're listening, we miss you, little
Mom.
Danny.
But wait, Autumn, how did you,
oh, yeah, yeah.
How did
we
you start
to,
working
oh,
with
us? Oh, I forgot.
Holy shit, we are awful.
Well,
Yeah, so,
yeah, because you drove from
you
Arizona.
Drove from, well, okay, so,
yeah,
so,
okay,
what,
so
what was before that, though? Like, what
so
were you doing in Arizona?
So I've been, like, doing art stuff basically my whole life. Like, my mom was a huge hippie, so she sent me to, like, alternative shit and, like, art schools and stuff, so I was originally going to college for writing, actually, creative writing. And then I was like, yo, I'm not paying $16,000 a year for a creative writing degree. Because, no, that doesn't make any sense. And then I dropped out of normal college, and I went to a trade school for film for, like, a year and a half. And I just, like, I found editing through that, and it was just kind of the best way, like, because I've always been an artist, but it was kind of the best way for me to, like, express myself artistically, because it works really well with the way I think and the way I work and whatever. So I started doing that, and then I dropped out of that, too, because I got hired to work at a commercial, basically, production company.
Was it like,
really
was it like, what's it called? Not corporate videos, but, like, that kind of thing where it was like not really creative.
Yeah. Stuff? I mean, like sometimes we'd get to do a commercial that was like creative, but a lot of times it was like corporate training videos and like green screen.
So it's like the editing version of a Kinko's.
Exactly. Yeah. It was the worst.
That was like my fear. Also like my ultimate backup job. I was like, okay, well, Sarah, if you don't make it as a graphic designer, you're going to work at like a sign shop. Yeah. It's just like, that's what you're going to do. Yeah. I know.
Yep. Yeah, it was basically like that. But I mean, it was still cool because I was like 19. And I was like, hell yeah. So I worked there for 2 years. I ended up being the lead video editor there, which was real cool. I had a bunch of interns that I got to boss around, which was fun. But that I was fun. Like, yeah, but I was like, I'm fucking like, I'm 22 and I'm already like leading. I'm in a lead position. I want to like go to LA because I want to grow and I feel like there's no like room for growth here. So I started looking for jobs, and I accidentally applied to SourceFed because I'm a big fan of like Funhouse and Rooster Teeth and all that stuff. And I remember when Joel came to SourceFed, and when I applied to SourceFed, it was listed under Discovery, so I didn't know that it was SourceFed. I just was like, well, fuck, might as well. It's like,
yeah, applied to Discovery. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Sophia got back to me and she was like, oh, this is for Discovery Digital Networks. Like, this is for SourceFed Studios. And I was like, oh, fuck, that's where Joel went. And I was like, oh, shit, dude, I can't get this job. Yeah, and then I got an interview because they liked my reel. And I drove from Phoenix once. And then
make this sound like it's not a big deal.
Phoenix is
very far
thing.
From L.A.
I feel like it's not, though. Like, I don't know why. That drive is really, like, it's 6 hours. So it's a while.
But it's 6 hours there and 6 hours back, to be clear.
Through the desert.
This is not some small feat. This is, like, an insane trek that you took.
Maybe
just to
I'm
interview.
Weird. I don't know. It's just, like, it was fine. I don't know. I was kind of like, I'm going to on this trek to like get a cool job. So
yeah,
I was super excited. I remember when Ricky was talking about like the interview people and you were brought up because he was like, oh, we're doing interviews today. I'm like, any girls? Because I was really bummed when Kezi was let go after SPF was done.
Yeah. Dissolved, yeah.
And I was just like, that sucks because now there's no female editors and like there is a difference.
Oh yeah, that room started to smell real
quick. Oh my
quick.
God, it did.
Real
it got
bad,
to smell
guys.
Real fast.
It didn't
like
smell
our bodies
any better when I came in.
To be fair, it didn't improve. No,
probably got worse. Yeah. Oh yeah, I mean that
and
is
so
cool.
So when Ricky mentioned, I was just like, oh sweet, cool. And then they mentioned like how you drove from Arizona. I was just like, oh man, I hope that works out. that's
and then you
advice.
Drove again.
Yeah,
from Arizona
yeah,
to do your test.
My test. Well, I remember when I came in for my first interview, it was like I had been preparing like all day. I was like stressed out about it. I just came from Phoenix, so I was like freaking out. And it was like a 10-minute interview. They're basically like, we liked your reel. Are you like not weird? No, you're not that weird. Okay, can you come back for a second interview? And I was like, fucking shit, are you serious? But I did. I came back.
Yeah, I think that first interview is just literally to see, I'm like, are you a weirdo?
That's exactly what it was
okay,
for.
Cool, you're not a weirdo. Because there's a lot.
What was your, like, test edit? Because mine was the Joe Beretta KFC video.
That
was that yours?
Too.
Oh, yeah,
that
was mine,
and Spencer's,
too.
That's right. Uh-huh. And then Ricky was like, you had the best one, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was, okay, so to kind of go off of that, the way that SourceFed was edited prior to Autumn showing up was kind of more traditional, usually. I mean, we had some weird stuff that we kind of did sometimes. But, like, it was very traditional in that, like, the editor was usually trying to be invisible.
Right.
And we were trying to cut on action and, you know, make it look like you didn't know that the editor was there. It was just all happening in front of you, and it... And you know, you weren't supposed to know that there was somebody
behind
the computer.
And to build off that, like, when I was there and Joe Beretta was there and Lee Newton were still there, they would make a point of it where, like, do not do multiple cuts. Do not make it very cutty. I have a certain way of doing it. And which is great. Like, I really admire that. You know, they wanted to perform it in the cut, in the scene, you know. And so, because they're, like, masters.
Yeah.
And as, you know, the years go on, things change and things are a little bit different. And
Autumn came in and she like changed the whole editing style of SourceFed, which is so fucking cool because suddenly her voice started coming through the videos. I mean, even from like, and I kind of knew that was going to happen from the test edit you did. It was really crazy because Danny came in a couple months before you did. Because mm-hmm. when did you get hired? December?
November.
November. Okay, yeah. So Danny, I think, was in August.
I think so.
And so you and Danny were really close as far as like when you came in, and your guys' edits were like they were way better than mine. They were so good that I was like, these people have to be on our team. But you single-handedly changed the way that we cut.
Yeah,
which
I think
is
the
really
only time you referenced the editor in previous clips was just the gag of cut to a clip.
Right, right, yeah, and
that
is referencing the editor.
And it's like,
but even and like.
Yeah. Like, Lieberman would always say cut to a clip.
It was like, cut to a clip. And then eventually I think there was a gag about like showing you guys freaking out by it and being pissed. Like,
oh yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah. Once in a while there'd be a little thing that we would see like that would play into it.
Yeah. And, or like April Fools or something where it was like yeah. they switched. Like yeah. that was a good video where it's like, oh, you got to see everybody.
Yeah. but then Autumn came in and if you got, I mean, I'm sure you guys noticed, like the videos became like our voices started to come through and we started having a lot more fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And the commenters noticed because it would be like, yeah. and it would be like props to the editor.
Yeah.
Who edited this? And it was just like, yeah. And then like eventually the guys finally started getting credit on the video.
I know.
Like, it's a shame that Nuclear Family got, you know, well, everything is
yeah,
done because dude. Desiree Barnes, we did Desiree Barnes.
Oh
and
my
you
God.
Would have been great.
I know.
So
I never
Desiree
got
Barnes.
To cut a Nuke Fam sketch and I'm so sad
that
about
yeah,
that.
It really sucks.
I would have loved to do that.
Because you would have been great for Desiree.
That would have been.
Yeah, oh, it would have yeah. been so fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just like, cause I watched so much Funhouse coming into it. Like if you guys like that editing style and you don't watch Funhouse, like watch it. Cause that's what they do. Like that's their thing is they have really funny editors and they just let them like do whatever.
Yeah.
Not saying I'm real funny. I can be.
Well, we're like sit behind a computer and try
yeah.
10,000 things and then four of them are funny. That's
right.
how we operate.
Yeah.
We're not like in front of the camera. I mean, I'm not anyway. I have to be. Yeah.
yeah
it's a different
it's,
style.
Yeah,
like you have to think through it. Like I can write comedy. But mm-hmm. if somebody was like, go get on that stage and make people laugh, I'd be like, that's not going to happen. Sorry. I can talk to you about Syria, but that's not going to make you laugh.
Oh, no.
It's not going to make yeah. you laugh. It's going to make
you cry. Hilarious.
Oh, hilarious Syria.
Spencer, what's your story?
Okay, so my story is I in middle school, I used to play soccer. I used to play like competitive level soccer, and I used to play Olympic development level soccer. So I was traveling all over doing that kind of stuff. And I just became sick of it.
Mm. Mm.
And so, in middle school, I actually played when I was very young, but then like the end of middle school, I started doing more artsy kind of stuff. And, I had a friend who was in, a film class and, he was a major slacker. He didn't like to do his work. And so he said, hey, do you want to help me make a movie? Which I knew meant, do you want to make my movie for
yeah.
me and I can be in it? And so I said, sure, because I wanted to do something fun. And we made a film for his film class. And I realized there that like that's what I wanted. Like I wanted to do that kind of thing. I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, but I knew that I wanted to be like in that field. And then freshman year of high school, I was on the soccer team. I was on the Olympic development team. I was playing comp soccer. So I had like a bunch of shit going on that front. And then I up and quit all of it
uh-huh.
and auditioned for the school play and got the lead in the school play. And it was like, sorry, parents, I'm going to be in theater now. And they were totally cool with it,
oh,
which is fucking
nice.
Crazy.
That is really awesome.
They spent like thousands of dollars, not even thousands, probably tens of thousands of dollars on me playing soccer because we'd have to travel over the world.
Yeah.
And you don't, mm-hmm. you know. And so they were super cool because they were like, yeah, you go do what you want to do. And so I made this major transition from being a soccer kid, you know, sports kid to suddenly being in is that beeping? Oh, you know what? That's a smoke alarm. We might all be dying.
Bye-bye.
That might be a carbon monoxide alarm.
I'm on fire.
but yeah, so I made this major transition and it was actually really interesting because in soccer I played sweeper, which is like the very back of the field right in front of the goalie basically. And so he's like the very, very back, and he's like the back center defender.
So when everyone fucks up, it's all up to you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's everybody so still on like the today. Last line. Yeah. Still yeah. like
the
today.
Last line.
But the other half of that job is you look at the whole field right. and you tell people when they have people on them, like they're going to tackle oh. them. You tell them where they need to go.
You push the defense up too, so they can get offsides.
Back,
yeah.
You pull them offside. So you're basically like kind of controlling.
Your conductor.
Your conductor, yeah. right. And so mm-hmm. everybody's listening for your voice. To tell them if they have somebody on them or if they right. where they should pass to, like, you know. And so that actually played, like, really well into directing and into, like, being in film because I still had to coordinate in that same way. I had to look at the whole big picture and, like, coordinate. And so then between my junior and senior year, well, I made a bunch of, like, short films, and did theater and did musicals and all that kind of stuff. And then between my junior and senior year, I wrote and directed a feature musical that like won at some film festivals and stuff. And so I knew at that point that I kind of had something that I was good at and that I could do. Mm-hmm. And that I liked a lot. That was the cool thing about it. Is like I really had a good time. We were working like 14-hour days for like weeks when we yeah. shot the feature, right?
Yeah.
And so so just like to have that experience of that grueling experience every day of going in and, you know, making, and it was awesome. It was so fun. And hard and
it's like
really,
good stress.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like
yeah.
the stress you enjoy.
You learn so much. I mean, if that's like a piece of advice I can give to anybody who's looking to get into this kind of stuff, it's like just mm-hmm. go and do it. Even if you just mm-hmm. film it on your iPhone and light it with some shop lights from Home Depot, like yeah. it doesn't matter. Just go yeah. and shoot shit because it'll teach you so much. I learned more shooting that than I ever could have.
Yeah, if you wait for perfection,
else.
You'll never do it.
Yeah, exactly. You have yeah. to just go and do it, even if it's shitty at first, because I look back at that movie and it's real shitty and I yeah. don't like it, but yeah. it taught me a lot. And then, so then I went to Chapman in Orange County, and I made a bunch of films there during my time at school there. And then I ended up working for a production company where I was making like graphics for theater shows. I was doing like projections
oh,
for theater
that's
shows.
Cool.
So I designed like the sets. If they couldn't afford to build the sets, mm-hmm. I would like build that stuff in the computer, and then they would project it onto the screens on the stage, which was really cool. And that kind of led me into working at a production company where I was an assistant to an executive, and I managed like calendars and did QuickBooks, and it was kind of, it was really good because I learned how the industry worked, right? Because he was always
business.
Going out pitching and like,
right.
it was a small business. So he was always trying, you know, he was always wheeling and dealing, trying to find like different contacts. And he was always going out to, and so I kind of learned how you did that, but it was freelance. And it was also like, I was working basically 24/7 because whenever he called me, I had to be available.
I was just saying, like, was this the guy yeah. who you were on call for? Like,
I was
whole...
on call 24/7, God. So like, if he needs
every
something,
every time you tell that story, it's just a nightmare.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. And so he would call me. You know, not to his fault. It's just that's how the nature of the industry is. But I get a call at 10 o'clock at night that something needed to happen, mm-hmm. and it's like, so I always felt tension. I always had to be like on my toes, and I never felt like I could relax because I always felt like I was going to do something wrong and get a text that I fucked up somehow, right? And so then I quit that, and I went to try and find something more creative, and I applied to like 200 places, and I finally got, I mean, I applied for probably like 4 or 5 months, trying to find places.
Yep, that's how, 4 or 5 months,
same way,
yeah.
Okay. I mean, and yeah, I applied, I had a good resume too. Like mm-hmm. I had stuff that I had worked on. I had a reel, mm-hmm. I had a bunch of shit, and it still took me like, I think I counted 200-ish.
Well, competition in LA is just—it's
nuts.
A lot, like that's the thing.
It's insane.
It's like, you come here because there are jobs,
mm-hmm. right?
But it's just like
it's just
competition. Everyone is coming here for jobs, so it's just it'll eventually happen, but it just takes time, and so you have to take a lot of free gigs because you want to do what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and the free gigs that I took when I was doing freelance often are the things that led to
right.
getting paid mm-hmm. stuff.
Same.
Because those people would develop, like, even if it took a year, like, I would get calls while I was here, or not here, but, you know, at SourceFed, about gigs that I had worked with somebody, like, a year ago on, or I'd worked on their film when I was in film school, and they remembered you know, they remembered me. And like the people that I want to work with are the people that are really not only good at their job, you have to of course be good at what you do. But also the people that are really nice, and like the people that are dicks, I just don't want to work for them.
Yeah.
You know, like, or I don't want to, like if I'm working on a project and somebody is a dick, I'm not going to hire them or I'm not going to want to work with them. So I think that's another aspect that kind of is often overlooked by people.
And that's also not to say like don't do jobs that like don't undersell yourself.
No, certainly not.
Don't undersell yourself. It's just a matter of like, if you're trying to get into a field that you're new at, like understand that like you're gonna have to do like some free things.
Yeah. Well, it's like calculated risk, right? Like you have to know what to take for free.
Take advantage of you as well. Certainly not. Like that. There's like a balance there.
Yeah.
Like.
It's a weird balance because I remember I used to do things for free. Mm-hmm. And I thought like, oh, I love doing it. Of course, I just want to do it. I have fun doing it. And then it's like, no, you have to charge, and you have to. It's a weird time when you like, you know, start charging, and then you start raising your price.
Well, because at first you're like, how much do I even?
Yeah,
right. Exactly. You never. I remember Googling and searching. Yeah. Like, no one gives me a straight answer on like how much to charge or what to do or what to put up. Mm-hmm. And it's just something that. We figured out.
Yeah, you just have to figure. I mean, you just have to feel it out.
I've learned that if you accidentally undersell yourself in the sense of like, oh, this is something that's not going to take up a lot of time, and then the client happens to just be like overly demanding, I just start. It's the asshole fee.
Right. Where it's just like, oh, well, raise the price because
where it's like you're giving me a hard time trying to make this thing, but this thing might for me actually take me an hour. But I'll charge for 3 hours.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's like you made this process so much more difficult, and you wasted my time. So I'm charging you for the time you wasted.
Yeah.
They don't know that. They think it took 3 hours. But it's also
is that
like,
why you charged me 5 hours to do that little sketch the other day?
Oh, I thought
wait,
you
I
were
I'm just kidding.
Wait, what else? You threw me. You know I only had like 3 hours of sleep today, man. I was just like, wait, I did a sketch. What did I do?
No.
Oh no. Yeah. But like it's and it's, I feel like it's fair because you gotta, it's your time and it's your mental health and it's all this stuff. And also sometimes if you are fast, people expect the speed. So a lot of times I'll like make something super fast and then just sit on it for a little bit because I'm like, I don't want you to think that's normal.
Yeah.
I just happen to have a lot of free time today and I was able to get this done.
Yeah, totally.
That's like one of my favorite things about being an editor is the availability of 9-to-5 jobs. Because fuck freelancing, it sucks dick. So I mean, I was so nervous when they were firing everyone.
Yeah.
That day was really hard, and
they were let go. I mean, there is a difference.
it was interesting because we didn't know how they were gonna choose, right? Like because you were the newest.
Yeah, I was 100% sure that they were gonna let me go because I'm still under contract and like I mean they could let me go.
Meaning
like,
that you're not full time yet,
right?
So they don't have any benefits or anything, so they could just
let me go. But I mean they didn't, and that's like we're leaving.
Even
though we don't really know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's be clear. We still don't really know what exactly we're doing.
Yeah, because we talk about it otherwise.
Right.
Like now we're just cutting like little Snapchat pitches for various stuff we're trying to develop, but
They're going out for like Snapchat meetings. They're taking meetings with Snapchat and we're basically doing sizzles
meetings,
for them.
Meetings with various companies and then just making like looks for potential shows.
So we're kind of doing that while we bide our time and wait to see what's going to happen next, because apparently there's a big master plan. And
essentially you guys are helping me out right
now.
Yeah, like, I'm supposed to be just making like these like stills, and it's like, well, if you guys are here, do you want to make sizzles? I'm just like, okay. So it's working out.
We get to help you, which is fun. We get to all collaborate, which is really fun because we haven't really.
It makes me happy.
We didn't get to used to do. And what's really cool about this too, like what we've been doing, even though it's different than what we used to be doing, is that we're in such like a small space now. It's not a small space. It's a pretty big space. But it's only four of us basically. I mean, Jeremy's here too, in and out.
But Jeremy's like his own entity.
Right. And so we are like, so we get to work so closely together now, and also we have more time to turn stuff around. Like, it's crazy how fast we turned around videos at SourceFed.
Yeah.
Like our turnaround was insane. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this the other day. Mm-hmm. Like how quick we were turning stuff around in 3 or 4, less than that sometimes, 2 or 3 hours sometimes for those videos that went up same day. And so now we actually have like a week to sit on a 30-second sizzle.
It's weird.
Nuts.
It's so weird.
It's really weird. Given it's a little more intense.
You guys were working in essentially like, I used to work at a news station in Miami.
Yeah.
So it's like the editors on those had to do like daily packages and stuff. So like they had the same quick turnaround.
Right.
And it's like very, it's like the reason I'm fast with logos and things like that is because I had to make logos for all these packages daily. Like it was just like, here's the thing. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. And it had to be like TV friendly.
Right.
So that's why like I kind of have that. Oh, make a thing super fast.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, wait, I have time to, like, finesse it. I'm not, like, oh, okay. Like, here you go.
Yeah, you take the time to actually make
it. But when
it,
it's, like, the quickie, like, we need this today in, like, an hour. I'm like, all right, I'm on it. Because it's that news mentality of, like, okay, we got to make something.
Right.
Is it clear? Can you communicate? Is it, like, visually interesting and pretty? Cool, done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like, you guys have that same, like, you guys would probably do really well in news.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think we'd be able to turn stuff around, you know?
It's but the same mentality.
Exactly. Sure. And I think it's really, it's really good to work your brain like that, too, because, I mean, for me, like, when I wasn't employed here, when I was looking for work, I put myself up to a challenge where I would, because I want to write, I ultimately want to be showrunning and writing and stuff, and so I basically set a challenge for myself while I wasn't technically employed, where I would write a new pilot for a show every single week.
Oh.
And so I would have to create the premise, I would have to flesh out the characters and write a pilot.
How did you never get into Channel 101?
Well, okay, so I know about it. Oh, Luis has to say bye.
I do have to go. I'm so sorry.
Luis is ghosting.
Yeah, I have to ghost out.
Okay, get bye, Luis. Bye.
No, I'll be back next. I'll be back next week for more hoot and hollers.
Get out. Get out.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Luis is going to school.
He is going to school.
Aw, Dad.
He's getting his education.
Aw. So
more next week.
Next time on Luis's school. I like forced myself to write a new pilot every week, and I did kind of, I looked into Channel 101, but I never did it because I was more of the writing, I wanted to do more of the writing side than like actual production side.
Channel 101, by the way, is it's a Dan Harmon, Rob Schraub thing, if you don't know, Dan Harmon made Community and all that stuff.
Rick and Morty.
Yeah. Like, I was like, why am I mentioning the thing that's like Rick and Morty? Yeah. Dan Harmon.
To be fair, I love Community. Let me make that really clear right now.
But okay. I should mention the thing that he's currently working on.
Rick and Morty, which is also amazing.
But it's like an established, almost like this, like, clicky establishment thing in LA, but anybody could participate. It's the premise is everybody writes 5-minute TV show pilots. And you make your show. It could be silly, it could be artsy, it could be whatever it is, as long as it's 5 minutes and it's a narrative. Like, that's kind of the only requirement.
Limitations.
And a panel votes on for which shows are going to be in. And they, at the last Saturday of every month at the Downtown Independent, they might move it if that building does not get torn down. But anybody could go, and they screen these pilots, and then the audience votes for which shows come back. So every screening, there's 5 returning shows and 5 new shows, and it's
so cool.
That's this was pre-YouTube, so this was a way for people to get an audience reaction.
Yeah,
and
that's
so they
awesome.
Were, like, this is where Rick and Morty came from.
Really? It was on Channel 101?
Yeah, what's his name? Justin Roiland.
Justin Roiland.
He made cartoons all the time. They were grossly offensive. They were
well, yeah, it's got his style,
Like, Justin Roiland's brain is insane, and like if you want to look up the original Rick and Morty, look up it's not Morty, it's a Back to the Future parody.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It looks insane.
It's the same. It's like the origins of the style, and it's essentially like Morty. It's not Morty. It's like it's something Marty.
Mm-hmm.
Doc and Marty. Yeah, that's what.
Yeah,
it's.
That's
Doc and Marty.
It's the adventures of Doc and Marty, and like Doc makes Marty go back in time to like stop horrible things from happening. But the way they have to go back in time is that Marty has to suck Doc's dick, and
that makes sense.
And you're like, what? Why? And Dan Harmon saw it. I was like, you know what? We could turn this into a thing. But also the reason that was made because Justin Roiland made a show called House of Cosby's.
Hmm.
And it was like kind of like Duplicity, if you've ever seen that movie. It's like,
yeah, yeah.
I've never seen it.
It's about someone who keeps cloning himself so that he it's a comedy. But this guy was like, I want to live with a House of Cosby. This is obviously before all the controversy with Cosby and all that stuff. And it was
that would
cartoon.
Be a real bad house
it
now that we know. Now that we know what happened,
yeah,
that would be a real bad house.
Yeah,
to be
and like
in.
Each Cosby clone was like a different personality type. Like it was really funny.
Yeah.
But I think it got up to episode 3 or 4, and then like Cosby's people sent a cease and desist, and it's like the first. Yeah, it was the first cease and desist that Channel 101 ever got.
Wow.
Because nobody's making money off of this.
It's just
free shit.
Yeah.
And because of that, Justin Roiland, I believe the story is that he wanted to get another cease and desist, so that's why he did the Doc and Marty thing, and that's
so
why it was so offensive.
Future,
like he was
yeah.
just like, let's push it. Mm-hmm. It didn't get voted back, so it didn't get the boost. But
it ended up being a show.
But Dan was offered like an opportunity to like make an animated show, and he remembered Justin. He was like, fuck it, let's do this. I want to do like a Doctor Who-y kind of
Back to the Future
thing. And
yeah.
There you go.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
Same, who else came from it? Adam Sandberg from SNL. He was a Channel 101 person.
Was he really?
Yeah.
That's so rad. No way.
There's a lot of, like, community is essentially based, like, it's a Channel 101 premise. There's a bunch of shows that are, like, based in a school that, like you could see the origins of a lot of weird shit, like, from 101.
That's awesome. Wow.
Well, yeah, you guys should make pilots.
I know, we should. Well, we should make pilots. Yeah, I mean, I kind of just force myself to, like, write a new pilot every week and just get all the shit basically out, right? Like just push all the stuff that wasn't good out, and then eventually things mm-hmm. that were halfway decent came out. And that's where the pilot that got optioned that I did, that's where that came from, is from that process of week after week just writing new pilots and just getting stuff done. And so that's kind of similar to what you're saying. Like you were practicing getting logos done over and over and over, so now when you need to do them,
you just have like a okay, this is what we're trying to communicate,
right?
Here we go. Yeah,
and so you have a structure and you have a format that you can follow, and so it's a lot easier to kind of formulate new ideas because you've already practiced doing it so quickly all the time. So that's kind of what I was working on before I was here, but
holy shit, remember when we said we were gonna talk for 30 minutes?
Yeah, how long is it? Oh shit, it's an hour.
Well,
I think that we've done it.
Yeah. So this is our origin story.
Our origin stories.
A little bit of tangent.
Yeah. I think
well,
like,
that's natural.
Yeah. Going forward, we're probably, I mean, I know like if I was watching a channel and everyone got mixed up and like put in different places, like if there were still people working together, I'd want to follow that. So our thoughts were kind of like, maybe you want to, like, I mean, it's still a piece of SourceFed. Like,
yeah,
it's a very small piece, you know, but it's a piece.
A broken, shattered piece, but it's
a
piece.
A little shattered piece. So, I mean, we just want to, like, talk to you guys.
Essentially, you're listening to how we talk
in the office every day.
In the office normally.
Yeah.
Like, the tangent stuff is just our conversation.
Yeah.
So, if you want in on that, that's this is.
But I think, too, like, we kind of wanted to just start this as well because at some point when the new project happens or whatever happens, like we want to give kind of behind the scenes of what's happening and like as much as we can.
Ooh.
You know, do kind of like, yeah,
I was say, you know what we should do? Should have talked about this beforehand. We need to set up an email address.
We have an email address.
We do?
Yeah.
Oh,
dude,
well, you're
Spencer's
on it.
All
Spencer's
over
on
it.
It.
I'm fucking
he's
on it.
I was just saying, people
it.
Should email us their questions.
Yeah,
stuff.
Email us stuff. You can also tweet it at us.
We have a Twitter?
Well, we don't have an official Twitter, but we can get one between now and when this comes out.
Right.
Or we can send them to our personal Twitter. Our personal Twitters.
I don't have a Twitter.
So you want to do a
the fucking
seriously
bleed.
Get the
please. Do you want to do a hashtag thing for now?
Yeah,
so
I
that
guess
we
we'll
can
do,
actually see it,
yeah,
and then
I
like
we'll
figure out what our Twitter actually is.
Yeah, I mean they can tweet at any of us, or they can hashtag,
hashtag.
We stayed late. Yeah, hashtag we stayed late. If you want to talk to us, or you can tweet it, or you can tweet any of us. I think Louis.
I don't know
Louis
if Louis is on Twitter. 12? If he is,
then
I feel bad because I probably don't.
Yeah. I'm at Spencer Stark, which is with an S and an S in my first name and an E.
Spencer had to change his name.
I did, and I'll explain that next time. A little teaser. But yeah, but you can send any questions you have or things that you want to talk about on there. We're gonna try and get some. I was saying before, we're gonna try and get some SourceFed hosts and SourceFed crew on to guest on some of the other episodes.
It's honestly
that we have,
just a way to bring them to this office and go see what could have been.
see
how
we
mean
get to
we
be
are
in.
Now.
Yeah, we were gonna call this Survivor's Guilt.
Yeah, we were originally gonna call it Survivor's Guilt, and I was like, that's not gonna be a long term.
Yeah, that's
thing.
Not gonna be a long term
like,
thing.
I would
but
think that the podcast would be about the show Survivors.
Exactly, like Survivor.
Yeah.
You mean Survivor? The show Survivor?
Oh, fucking name. God damn it. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, good.
No, you sound exactly the same. But yeah, we wanted to also kind of bridge up and when we start. Oh God! Sorry. Oh no! I was invading my personal space.
This is why they didn't give them rolly chairs in the.
Yeah, that's why they didn't do it, because they you're roll just like, into each other.
I'm just gonna move around.
But yeah, and also just to bridge to the new show that we're gonna be doing at some point.
We want to bring you guys with us
as we kind of explore what we're gonna be doing next, and hopefully give you behind the scenes into that as much as we can, as much as we legally can.
I don't think it's a matter of legal. It's a matter of like, as much as we don't want to get fired, because that would actually be a fire. Yeah. That wouldn't be a let go. That would be like you shouldn't have talked about that. So right. Bye.
So we'll talk about as much as we can. But yeah, come back next week and we'll have a little chat.
Oh, my Twitter's Starline X. My name is Starline, but for spelling's sake, Starline X.
Star L I N E.
Yeah. Yeah, X is for Shomada. That's not just like...
Is that your middle name?
Yeah, it's not me trying to be a badass. It's just literally the next letter in my name.
I remember when all the girls had XX underscore... XXO... Yeah, XO
and
underscore,
I realized that afterwards.
Not XXX, that'd be a completely different AIM account. But XOXO, like...
Trying to be cute, I didn't think about that when I was just like, it's my name. No one ever believes it's my name online anyway. So.
Right, everybody calls you Star or Moon in some people's case.
It was Sky.
Sky, that's
someone
what it was.
Someone called me Sky.
I don't have a Twitter.
But follow her on Instagram.
You can send me a message through Fire. I don't know.
Aren't What's you just like, aren't you like everywhere is Rough House or something?
Yeah. So, I mean, I have a Twitter, but I've literally never used it. I had to make it for Spanish class a long time ago. Follow me.
No way.
Yeah, my Spanish one tweet class. Said some bullshit in Spanish.
I have really a story funny. About Spanish class I'll tell after when we
I'll tell it.
Next time.
I'll tell it next time.
Who's taking you can, notes? You have to tell why you changed your name, your Spanish class stories.
Okay. That's it. Yeah. I think that's all.
You can follow me on Instagram. It's RUFHAUS, Rough House. Thanks. I have to pee really bad.
Oh, go pee. We're going to end this right now. Okay. Goodbye,
bye,
friends.
Babies.
Goodbye.
Bye.